See, without it, wouldn't have anything at all, really. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Proverbs 27 ought to be a familiar passage to you. It says this. Turn to Ecclesiastes while you're here. Flip over to Ecclesiastes, not far. Ecclesiastes, one more book over. Just go to Proverbs and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Give you a few verses here. Ecclesiastes is a book that tells about the vanity of man. All is vanity, saith the preacher. And Proverbs 27:20 says this verse. Ought to be familiar to you. And the Bible says this. Proverbs 27:20, it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. Now, it don't matter what you have, you're not going to be satisfied with the flesh. The eyes of men, the Bible said, is never satisfied. I've asked Howard Hughes one of the greatest statements, the testimony of that one time. He was the richest man in the world at the time. And he said, how much money would it take to satisfy you? He said, $1 more than I'll ever have. You'll never be satisfied no matter what you get. The eyes of men, this flesh is never satisfied.
Amen.
If you get a new car, you want a newer one. You know, if you get a fast car, you want a faster one. That's the way it goes. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The eyes of men are never satisfied. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 8 says this, all things are full of labor, men cannot utter it, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing.
Amen.
Don't satisfy you. Flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this, verse 8, Ecclesiastes 4:8, there is one alone and there is not a second, yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor, bereave my soul of good? That is vanity, it is a sore travail. Riches cannot satisfy you. Some of the most unhappiest people I've ever seen in my life are rich people. Look at Isaiah. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after it, said they went after it, they have erred from the faith and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Riches can't satisfy you. Money can't satisfy you. Fame can't satisfy you. Health can't satisfy. Some of the most unsatisfied people that I've ever been around are people that have a lot of stuff.
Amen.
And some of the most satisfied people I've ever known have the least.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? We went downtown with those homeless people. They're some of the happiest people I've been around in a long time, Miss Carol. And they don't have nothing. They're picking them up out of the bi-dock. They're on the streets living and they got a smile and a glow about them. And brother, their eyes of men are never satisfied. You know why I think they're satisfied? Because they don't have a whole lot to be satisfied with but God. A lot of those folks are saved.
Right.
Take your Bible, turn over to Psalms chapter 36. Psalms 36. I preached October the 29th, 2017. Over there in the Bible it says, a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That's a strange thing, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. The Bible has a lot to say about satisfied. Look at Psalms chapter 36. Psalm 36. Psalm 36 says this. Psalm 36 verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, talking about the house of God, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Flip over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. The Bible has a lot to say about being satisfied, but the eyes of men are never satisfied. Riches cannot satisfy. Silver cannot satisfy. What a satisfier. Look at Psalms chapter 63, verse 5 says this, My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I tell you what, a satisfied praise in the Lord. Look over Psalm 65 verse 4. It says this: Blessed is the man whom thou chosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, church. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Look over, flip over to Psalms 81. Psalms 81, God expects the child of God to be satisfied. The natural man is not satisfied, never will be. The eyes of men are never satisfied. Psalms 81, verse 15 says this: The haters of the Lord, that's the world today, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock. That's the Lord Jesus, you know your Bible. Should I have satisfied thee? Turn over to Psalms 103. Psalms 103, I could give you a bunch of them. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:23, The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Thing that will satisfy you is a good dose of the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. I talked to a man the other night at the homeless. I preached there for him. And I preached about that dying thief and how Adam was afraid when he got separated from God. I said a lot of people won't come to the Lord because they're afraid of Him. And this man was 62. He came up to me after the preaching. He said, Preacher, you got me. He's from Memphis. He said, I'm afraid of the Lord. I said, that's a good sign, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. I said, you need to be afraid, first of all, to come to God. And he got saved. The fear of the Lord. Look at Psalms 103, verse 5 says this: Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Flip over to Psalms 107. God wants us to be satisfied with Him. Psalms 107, verse 8 says this: Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. I preached about that a while back. And for His wonderful works to the children of man, for He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And I just want to preach a few minutes this morning on satisfied. Satisfied. I preached a while back, He shall be satisfied from Himself. I preached over to Isaiah 53 where it said the Lord shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. I'm going to preach about just satisfied this morning. Brother Chris, take us to the Lord in prayer.
Lord, again, we thank You, God. We just come to You once again this morning, God, and pray, God, for Brother Terry, God, He stands here this morning, God. Pray, God, we open up the Scriptures, God.
Amen.
And pray, God, the Scriptures go out, God. We know God said Your Word will not turn.
Amen.
Void, God. But we pray, God, as the Word goes out, God, find a place in our hearts, God.
Amen.
Stay there, God. If God touch us today, God, just be a seed in our heart today, God. We might take it and apply it to our life today, God. And Lord, and just take it and use it today, God. And Lord, again, we thank You, Lord, for everything that's done, God.
Amen.
We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Now I want to preach about satisfied. Are you satisfied today? I'm going to give you some things just real quick. I want to say, first of all, I'm satisfied with the family God gave me.
Amen.
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with what God did for me. I mean, God gave me a jewel for a wife. I mean, brother, my wife never smoked a cigarette, never cursed, never been to a movie. She came down from Michigan to Pensacola to go to Bible school. And listen, you leave Michigan to come down to Pensacola, that little boot camp, you got to be serious. The Bible said, Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. I found her, brother. And let me tell you, before I married her, there was nobody on this planet, Miss Liz, I wanted to marry. My mother, even as a kid, when I was a teenager, she'd tell people, she'd say, Terry's a lifelong bachelor, he'll never marry. She said, he's too big of a drifter and a roamer. She said, he'll drift all over the country, he'll never settle down, he's not going to marry nobody. Listen, till I met this girl right here, Miss Jane, I never wanted to marry. First time I went out with her in Pensacola. Took her at Pass Out Tracks. I told you we had Pass Out Tracks, went out to eat. Found out she played the piano, and I said, that's the one. So I went back to my room. My cousin David stayed with me. And I told David, I said, I'm going to marry that girl. That's the one right there. Yeah. He just laughed. I did. God gave me a great family. I got three amazing kids. God gave me, man, it's unbelievable. God gave me a little special girl right there. It just brings a joy and a smile into our life all the time. I want to tell you, I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I'm satisfied. God gave me three amazing grandkids. Three smartest kids in the whole world. I mean, those kids are amazing how good they are, man. I love to be around those grandkids. Children, children are the crown of old men, the Bible says. And I'm satisfied, Miss Liz, with the family God gave me. But I'm not just satisfied with the physical family God gave me. I'm satisfied with the spiritual family God gave me. I tell you, brother, I like to be around God's people. I like to be around God's people. I'm satisfied with the family of God. I tell you what, we had a great time with Brother Luce and Miss Kathy the other night, didn't we? We went out to eat late on Thursday, me and Miss Carol and Brother Dot, and we was talking about that, and Miss Carol said, I can't wait to get back out there again. I mean, it's a bunch of homeless people. I mean, over there, there was a dead rabbit laying on one of the tables. Pretty rough place, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, just being there with those homeless people that were saved, and Brother Lucian, I tell you what, I love to be around God's people. I'm satisfied with the family He gave me. Brother Lucian and Miss Kathy, they both have deceased spouses, and they remarried and got together, and they got that ministry going. Me and Miss Brother Dodd and Miss Carol went out to eat my family Olive Garden Thursday and went to lunch. We had a good time, didn't we? We fellowshiped, got to talk to some of the people there about the Lord, got to pray with one of the ladies there. They were having some difficulty. You say what? I like to be around God's people. I'm satisfied with that family He gave me. Amen. I love to be around them. Man, those homeless people out there, they just bless my heart, man. I tell you what, they're so kind and they're so thankful for what you do and helping them out there. You know what that is? That's God's people. That's my family. I love to be around my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 John chapter 3 and get 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 John chapter 3. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. You know what? I love to pass out tracts and talk to people about the Lord. Oh, I love it. Man, I love to tell people there at Public or Walmart or the park or the gas station. And you know what I get to do, Brother Anthony? I get to meet some of the most amazing brothers and sisters in the world. There's a lady at Public the other day. I was in there, Miss Liz. And we came home from Florida and I ran in there to get some things and I have a big sign, no soliciting, you know. I don't pay and I don't read that stuff. I tell them, I'm not soliciting anyway according to the law. They take it to the law. But I give them all tracts. And there's a lady there, she's working, a black lady. It was amazing. I tell you, God is good, brother. And I gave her a gospel tract. And I said, let me give you a little tract, ma'am. She is a sweet black lady. She said, don't you remember me? She's doing it like this. Don't you remember me? I said, no, ma'am. And I looked at her name tag, and her last name was Hamburger. And I remember that name. I said, I remember you, Hamburger. She said, you gave me one of these the other day. And she said, I sure didn't need it. It sure did bless my day. Woo! I like that. I like to be around God's people. Amen. Man, I meet them all over the place, Brother Chris. I meet them down at the lake. I meet them at Walmart. You say, who are they? They're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. This is a great verse. It's one of the signs of salvation right here. 1 John 3, 14. We know that we pass from death into life. How? Because we love the brethren. Amen. I love to be around God's people. I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I'm not satisfied with the world, I'll be honest with you. I don't care to be around the world, Miss Liz. I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Scares me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what God said about that. I'm satisfied with the spiritual family God gave me. And brother, I meet some of the most amazing people, Brother Chris, around. I mean, I met some amazing people the other night, Tuesday night. They're those homeless people. Man, old Lucy, man. I thought Miss Carol was going to adopt him out there where she was talking to him. Miss Carol talks to everybody. She knows everybody out there by now, you know. We go to Olive Garden, everybody there knows her, you know. And she's a good witness for the Lord, too. She's out there passing out tracts, talking to those people at the homeless. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this. It says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's simple, isn't it? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. That's not my crowd, Brother Chris, since I got saved. I tell you, I like to be around God's people. I love the family that God gave me. I'm satisfied with the spiritual family He gave me. I love Brother Chris. Me and him, we're like that, man. You know what we are? We're brothers from a different mother. We got the same dad, brother. I tell you, I love to hand out. I love to talk to people about the Lord. I love to get to know my amazing brothers and sisters in the Lord. Woo! I went to Harbor Freight here a few months ago, and that place ought to be against the law, really. You spend every penny you got over there, brother, don't you? I got every little trinket a man wants over that thing, man. I go in there to get a flashlight, and I got a whole buggy junk I'm walking. I don't even need. And that lady at the cashier, I gave her a little tract, a black lady, little girl, and she starts crying. She'd been going through some things. Saved. Love the Lord. And Miss Leah, I got to pray with her right there at that cashier. I'm going to tell you I love and I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I hugged her on the neck, man. She thanked me, Miss Samantha. I went up and see Miss Ashley when she had her little baby here, little Alicia. And I was leaving there and got on the elevator and gave a man a gospel tract. Said, sir, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a nice looking gentleman, Brother Zito. Had a nice suit on, looked like a CEO or something, man, in his 50s. You know, and I gave him a tract and I said, sir, you saved? He said, yeah. And he started crying. I said, sir, I'm a pastor. Is anything I can help you? He said, well, he brought my dad in last night with dementia. He's having dementia. And I said, well, let's me and you go over here and just go in the hall. Let's get over here and pray a little bit for your dad. Woo! I tell you what, he hugged my neck and said, preacher, I love you, preacher. Thank God, I love to be around God's people. I'm satisfied with the spiritual family He gave me. I preached for 30 years down there in Mission. Man, I love to be around those men. I miss that place. I'm trying to get back in it, brethren. I want to tell you, man, I love to be around God's people. Those homeless people where Lucian and Kathy minister, they're amazing. That one lady, Miss Carol, with the baseball cap. That lady, listen, folks, she had the most beautiful smile, didn't she, I've ever seen the whole time. She had a smile. She had a cap on. She was probably in her 60s, 70s. She lived in her car. All she lived in was a car. But that lady had a joy and a smile on her, and she is saved and talked to about the Lord. And I tell you what, there was just a bond me and her had. I want to tell you, I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I love to be around God's people. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel along. And I'm part of the family of God. You don't notice we say brothers and sisters around here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share a tear and rejoice in each victory. And our family so dear. Brother, I'm glad and satisfied. I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I want to say I'm satisfied this morning with the Father that I have now. I can 100% trust without reservations. Whatever goes, whatever's going on, I can trust in my Father. I couldn't do that with my earthly father. I loved him. He did what he could. But I'm going to tell you, the Father I have now, brother, he said in Hebrews 13, 5, 6, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'm satisfied with the Father that He gave me. My Father is awesome and He is amazing, Miss Samantha, and He is wonderful. I'm 100% satisfied with Him. Romans 8:31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" I'm satisfied with the Father I got today. But I wasn't satisfied with the devil. John 8:44 says, "You're your father the devil, lust your father you'll do." That's what He told those Pharisees. Before you got saved, the devil was your father. You were born when you reached an age of Canada. That was your father according to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you had to get born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Amen. I'm satisfied with my Father. I was out there at with Brother Lucian the other night. That homeless place. And had two big old black ladies come up to me, Miss Liz and a young man. When I got through preaching and talking, I was walking and talking with some of them. And they come up to me, Brother Anthony, and said, Pastor, can we talk to you for a second? I said, "You sure can." And I asked him, I said, "Well, let me ask you first of all, are you three saved? Do you know the..." "Yes, sir." "Oh, yes, sir. I know Jesus." And boy, you could tell when her face just lightened up. And I said, "Well, what can I do for you then?" She said, "Pastor, where we live, they're building a dump over there, and they're building a landfill over there. And," she said, "I'm scared they're going to bring disease and stuff all over there. And would you just pray that God would do something?" And she said to me, "Miss Jane," she said, "you think it'd be odd if we prayed about that? You think the Lord would allow us to pray about that?" I told her, I said, "Sister, if you're saved and God is your Father, if it bothers you, it bothers Him. If it bothers my son on this earth when he have health problems, it bothers me." And that Bible said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be careful for nothing but by prayer and supplication let your request." And if it bothers you, it bothers your Father.
Amen.
And I pray with those ladies about that. I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I'm satisfied with the Father He gave me. I'm satisfied this morning with the food He gave me. You know what? You might not know it as slim and trim as I am, but I like to eat, Miss Samantha. I like it, Brother Dot. I mean, I know he does. I've been out to eat with him enough. Me and Brother Dot, we was out here at Olive Garden the other day, and they was kind of dragging a little bit. Man, we was jumping around over there, buddy. We was about ready to start eating the menu for a while. You put food out there, Miss Samantha, I'm on it, man. I like to eat. In fact, I just say I love to eat. In fact, I just say, Brother Don, I'm addicted to eating. I love the food. I'm satisfied with the food. God gave me a wife, and I tell people, I don't know if she learned to cook or I learned to like it, but it's good. Hey, I'm satisfied with the food God gave me. But I love to go out. We go out to eat with the church, and we meet, we go street preaching, all that. We go to Logan's, get that fish. Woo! That's some good stuff, man. That's 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock fish. The only time they sell it from 5 to 6. But that stuff's good. And we go over to Habaneras Mexican. Woo! That's some good stuff. You know what the word Habaneras means? Glutton. Pig. No, it doesn't mean that. It means chili. Hot chili is what it means. I looked it up. I was hoping it'd mean something good. Hey, brother, I like to eat. I like the food. I'm satisfied with the food that God gave. We got some good cooks in this church, too, by the way. Have you ever been over to C&D's, eight? You've been over there, didn't you? Y'all went last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
I asked Miss Carrie, "Where y'all going to eat?" She said, "We're going over to C&D's. I said, "C&D's, that a new place?" She said, "It's Carolyn Dots." Hey, I've been there before. It's some good stuff. That lady can cook. Hey, Miss Samantha, that Nanner pudding, if that physical therapy don't work out, she can always start a Nanner pudding business. I'm trying to tell you. We got some good cooks. Miss Karen, that Santa Fe soup. Woo! Brother, that'll get you on the Santa Fe train real quick looking for some more. I'm going to tell you, I'm satisfied. With the food God gave me. I like to eat. I like the physical food, but I want to tell you this morning, I'm satisfied with the spiritual food God gave me.
Amen.
This right here. Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. As newborn babe desire the sincere milk of thy word." Job said, "I've seen the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. How sweet are thy words unto my taste." I want to say I'm satisfied with this King James Bible. I'm not looking for no originals, Miss Karen. And you don't look either, because they're not around. I'm not searching for some verbally plenary inspired autographs. They're not there. And I'm satisfied with that book that God put in my hands 42 years ago and gave it to me, and I've been feeding on it for 42 years. And I'm going to tell you, it's never got dull. It's never got bored. That book has always fed me from the Word of God. Always. That book bred me. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That book leads me and leads me. That book bleeds me, brother. That book will cut you up, get you right, brother. It's a two-edged sword. I've never, never got tired or bored with that book. Never. And I've been saved for 42 years. I'm satisfied with the food, the spiritual food that God gave me. I can eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, Miss Samantha. And I always get something good. A lot of time, Miss Samantha, she'll be out in the car while they're in here. You know what she's out there doing? Getting a snack. Reading her Bible. Getting a little snack. Taking a little time. Just sitting out there reading and feeding on the Word of God. I'm satisfied with the spiritual food that the Lord gave me, brother. I've never had to go to God and say, "Hey, Lord, this thing's not feeding me. I need something else." Bible said over in Psalms 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." This is how you taste Him. You feed on the Word of God. Amen. This is it, brother. Amen. A lot of Christians don't read the Bible. Greatest thing you can do, my friend, is get in this book and read this book every day. Amen. Every day. I'm satisfied with the spiritual food God gave me. I was watching old Beaver the other last week. Beaver, he put him down there to eat, and had Brussels sprouts. Y'all eat Brussels? I never had a Brussels sprout. I don't even know what they are, but they're on there. And he's down there, he won't eat them, you know. He's a little guy, and he said, and his mama threatened him, and his daddy threatened him, and he said, "But I don't like them." And his mama, she got mad. Usually she's the easy one, Miss Jane. And she got mad, and she said, "You can't leave till you eat these." So he puts them in his pocket. And she catches him. A lot of Christians do. They carry the Bible around with them, put it in their pockets, you know, kind of thing. But old Beaver, man, he put them in his pocket. His mother caught him, you know. And she said, "Beaver, you're not leaving to eat those." He said, "But I don't like them." And they were going to a football game the next night, Brother Zito. And his mother, she got mad, Miss Leah. She said, "You're not going tomorrow night. I'm going to get a babysitter for you, and we're going out to eat. You're not going." Well, Mr. Beaver, Ward Cleaver, he's usually the one that does the discipline, but he came to his wife later and he said, "Now, dear, don't you think we're making a bigger deal out of this?" And she said, "Well, he's got to learn to eat what we put in front of him." And he said, "How about if we give him a second chance? You know how dads are. We're the good guys, right? We're the good cops, right, Miss Samantha? You know, bad cop, good cop." And he goes and he talks her into it. He said, "Okay, Beaver." He said, "We're going to let you go to the football game if you promise the next time Brussels sprouts are put in front of you, you'll eat them." He did. And they went out to eat. And they went out to eat this fancy restaurant. And he sat down there and he brought the food out there. Do you know what's sitting on that plate that big? Brussels sprouts. And Beaver took one look at it. He looked up and said, "I'll just walk home." And his mom said, "No, you're going to eat them." And the lady that worked at the way, she said, "Oh, we can give you something else." She went to get it. His mom said, "No, you leave it right there. He's going to eat that." And there was these old ladies behind him. I say old. Everybody's old, you know, in the movies. And they said, "Well, I never made my son, my baby, eat it what he didn't like. He don't have to do that." And Miss Claire, she said, "We'll take care of this." And Beaver said, "I don't like it. I can't eat them." And they said, "Just try it. And so he got one, Brother Chris. He put it in his mouth. But he wasn't going to swallow it. You know what happened, don't you? Old Wally slapped him on the back. Good job, beaver! Pap! And he went... and he said, that wasn't too bad. He began, that's what I try to do with some of you. I'm trying to slap you on the back to get you reading the Word of God. Read it, read it, read it, read it. And brother, just like Beaver, you get in that thing, you'll say, man, that's some good stuff. Like Brother Earl preached that first thing, and you'll just get in and read, you'll say, man, this is some good stuff. Well, Beaver started eating all those Brussels sprouts. I'm satisfied with the family God gave me. I'm satisfied with my father. I'm satisfied with the food. I'm going to say this morning, I'm satisfied with the fight God gave me. I'm satisfied with the fight, brother. Everybody needs a cause. They need something to fight for. You know what the climate change folks want? They want to fight. They cook the books. They change the data. They don't care about the truth. They want something to fight about. The homosexuals, they protest and they fight. We give them same-sex marriage. They still fight. They want to take over the bakery. They want to fight. People need something. They need a cause in their life. You take the environmental folks that camped out the pipeline in North Dakota. The gun control folks. The IRA side. I mean the pro-abortion, anti-abortion, white supremacists, the blacks. Hey, people are looking for something to fight about. People need a cause and a reason and something to keep them going. I remember 2011. They had that thing called the Occupy Wall Street. Y'all remember that? There's a bunch of kooks out there. They called themselves the 99%ers. Y'all remember that? And they're walking around there, Brother Alonzo, and one of these shows, Waters, or one of them. Back then, I saw him, and he was walking around interviewing some of them. And all these people, they were camping out. I mean, there was hundreds of them camping out right there, you know. He went around and asked one of them, he said, what are you out here doing protesting for? And he put a microphone, he said, my friend just told me to come out here and protest. And he started talking to people. What are you protesting? Hey, we're protesting. We're protesting. None of them knew what they were even protesting for. Listen, I know what I'm fighting for. I know what I'm protesting for, Miss Liz, today. And I'm fighting for the souls of men. You know what we do when we go on the streets? You know what we do when we hold up signs, scripture signs? You know what we're doing? We're protesting people going to hell. What we're doing. The word protest, it means this: a statement or an action expressing disapproval of an objection to something. And brother, we object to people going to hell. That's why we're out there. That's why we knock on doors. That's why Lucian and them go out there. You say why? Because there's a fight in them, brother. And I'm satisfied with the fight God gave me. Brother Earl preached here on August 7th, 2016 on fight. Y'all remember that? Fight! Fight! 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 4:7, I fought a good fight. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 1 Timothy 1:18, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Listen, brother, this is a fight for the souls of men. And I'm satisfied with the fight God gave me, brother. And like old Billy Sunday, I love what he said over there by that liquor. He said, if I die and my wife's still alive, he said, I want her to go get a butcher and take my skin off me and make them for drum heads and let them go down there and take those drum heads of my skin and beat on down the street and protest that liquor. Brother, that's the way I feel about souls going to hell. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight for them. We had some good friends of ours at Mountain View, Kim and Jim Smith. Their 20-year-old boy, just here recently, was on the news. Y'all saw that I asked you to pray. And he is a preacher going to be studying to be a pastor at Crown College over there in Tennessee. And this two of the best couple, this one of the best people I've ever known, the Lord. And they just love God. They raised this boy. They got a boy and a daughter. Raised this son, Blake. Got him saved. Called to preach. Love the Lord. And he was killed somehow. They don't know yet. They think it was foul play over in Tennessee. 21 years old. Gone. Gone. Jim, his dad, stood up in that funeral. You've seen it on the internet. He stood up there and he said this.
He said, if God loved me so much and He sacrificed His Son for my sins, He said, Jim said, the least I can do is sacrifice my Son for some souls. And a lot of people have gotten saved by that. He said, how in the world could He say it? Because He knows there's a fight for the souls of men, and He's satisfied with that fight. And if God could save some souls through the death of His Son, He said, go for it. I'm all for it. A lot of people have gotten saved through that young boy. They've had a revival over in Africa, I've been told, by people getting saved. And I want to say I'm satisfied this morning with the fight God gave me. I'm going to fight for souls. I'm going to do what I can. I'm satisfied with that family. I'm satisfied with the Father He gave me. I want to say this morning, I'm satisfied with the faithful men and women I've got to know through the years. I want to tell you, brethren, God's been good to me. God has been good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, God has brought people in my life. Miss Karen, that's been unbelievable. I have sat down. I have heard. I've sat under. I've talked one-on-one. Got to know some of the greatest preachers of this generation, this list. I'm thankful and satisfied with the faithful folks God's got let me know through the years. Man, it's been unbelievable, brothers. Brother Zito, I have sat on a pew right here and Carl Lackey sitting right there for an hour talking to that old man. I preach or something else. I've talked many times with Peter Ruckman. I've talked with Jack Woods. Jim Lentz, one of the greatest preachers of this generation, was one of my best friends. Listen, I thank God and I'm satisfied with the faithful folks. He let me know through the years. And I'm going to tell you, friend, those folks have helped me. They've challenged me. They've reproved me. They've rebuked me. They've exhorted me. They've convicted me. They've helped me. The Bible said, commit thou to faithful men, and those faithful men have committed me, brother. And I tell you, I'm satisfied with them through the years. God has been so good to me. Some of the men I've got to know, it's been unbelievable. It's right here, one of my Bibles. I don't take it out. It's my Bible school Bible. It's a wide margin Bible. It's an Oxford Bible. It's a $300 Bible. Back then, it was given to me by Caraway when I worked there. They gave it to me when I went to Bible school. They all signed it. It's got a lot of Bible notes from being in Bible class. This is precious to me. I had a friend of mine along those lines. Paul Jant and his wife, Rowena, they went to school down there, and he's a missionary with the juveniles, and I got a newsletter from them the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and their house burnt down. And Rowena said, I went in the house and got the most precious thing I had in the house. She said, that was my Bible that I went to Bible school with. She said, that was the one thing I'd go in that fire for, was that Bible. And she said, I went and got my Bible out. This is precious to me right here. See, this got a lot of tears, and you can see a lot of notes and things. Through the years, I've taped things in there, and there's a picture of my mother there and her obituary and things, and I got people's autographs. This right here is one of the most precious things I got right here. Is this note right here, taped in my Bible. I'm thankful and satisfied with the faithful people God gave me through my way and helped me. See, I got saved July the 30th, 1975, and you know, and I did pretty good for the Lord for a while. Then God called me to preach, and I ran from the Lord, got in trouble, and got away from God, and I got right with God, and I was gotten right with God, Miss Liz, and I was right within about a week. And here's a note. It was to Charles Andrews from Linton Smith. Charles, I would like you to go by and see this fella. He is saved but backslidden. His name is Terry Watkins, 5309 Avenue J, Vinesville, Alabama. I'd gotten away from the Lord. And I'd read old John Wesley's book on the Journal of John Wesley, Brother Chris, and I read over there where John Wesley went street preaching. And I was thinking, man, I'd like to do that. I didn't know anybody ever did that, honestly. But I thought, man, that's what I'd like to do. I'd love to just go out there and tell people about Jesus. One Saturday morning, got a knock on the door, and there's Charlie Andrews and Greg Gibson sitting there from that note. I've been praying about street preaching. And I got talking with them, told them I'd got right with God. We hugged and jumped a little bit. And I said, "Where are you guys going?" And they said, "We're going downtown to do some street preaching." They said, "You want to go?" I said, "I sure do." You know what God did? I'm satisfied with the faithful men and women through my years. I never forget, I went down there, Brother Zito and Brother Chris, and that was back downtown when people would go downtown. That was when you had Newberry's and had the big bus thing. There's hundreds of people out there, you know, white and black both, man. That was when it was downtown Birmingham. And it had these cement newspaper stands. They were about this high or so, and had the newspaper racks in them. They made out of cement. And we'd stand on those things on the corner. And I never get it, Miss Jane. Man, the first time I ever went down there with them, we went down there, me and Charlie and Greg, and I'll never forget that. When Brother Charlie, or actually Brother Greg, was the first one, he stood on that newspaper stand and began saying, "And the Bible says." I went, "Oh boy, what'd I get into?" Like Brother Chris, I thought, "Man, I'm just going to hang around here." I didn't know. But after a while, brother, it got in my blood and got up there and got going. And I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful and satisfied with the faithful people God sent along my path. I'm thankful for them. I got to know Brother Charlie Andrews. Me and him preached all over the place for years and years and years. Went to Grace Baptist Church in Five Points West with Jim Trotter, Vernon Hanson, Vernon Smith. 8 hours a day studying his Bible. Greatest Bible teacher I ever seen in my life outside of Brother Ruckman. I seen those men, Linda Drake and Dad and Greg. I'm going to tell you, those faithful folks along the years, help me. I'm satisfied with them. I got to be around some of the greatest preachers. I remember I got out of Bible school, and me and Esther had a little Sarah at the time. We went to Fellowship Baptist Church and was youth pastor there for Brother Norris. And that old man, that was a man of God, brother. I'm telling you, that old man was one of the greatest soul winners I ever been. He helped me. Those faithful men, they reprove and rebuke and exhort you just being around them, knowing how right they are with God. That old man would get and pray and heaven would come down. That old man had a tender heart for souls, boy. One of the best soul winners ever been around. I'm satisfied with the faithful folks God's put in my life and helped me through the years, brethren. And I want to say this morning, I'm satisfied with the fruit God's given me. I'd like to have more. But I tell you what, I'm glad to look back, Brother Zito, and know there's a little bit of fruit here and there. I tell you what, if I wasn't serving God, I would die. I'd die! I would literally die! I believe my heart would just totally stop if I wasn't doing something for God. I could not imagine living this life without serving God. Blows my mind. We was talking about the other night, some of us Thursday night, about that young man killing those people in the school. And we was talking about it. We said, "Man, my mind can't even go there, even those thoughts." And listen, as a child of God, my mind can't go there. But my mind can't go the thought of not serving the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Chris, I can't even fathom that.
Right.
I got to have it. I got to do something for God. And I'm satisfied with the fruit.
Amen.
Thinking of Brother David Beard. Got saved, had a little house, a church in our house for 3 years, had 200 people saved in that thing. There's Brother David 21 years ago, an old convict, 17 years in prison, all the things he's been through. And now you look down there, King down there one day and got saved, him and Maggie. And now for 21 years, their kids have been through Bible school. Their kids have been in Mountain View. I mean, you say, what happened? That was some fruit God gave me along the way. God let me pick a little fruit here and there. And I'm sad. I wouldn't take everything Bill Gates got for that. If you took Bill Gates' $90 billion and multiply it by 10,000, I wouldn't trade it for that. I wouldn't trade it for the other day. I was at Home Depot. We was out there passing out tracts. And there's old Mike Julian working there, retired. I led that old boy. He was an old rock musician, one of the best I've ever seen, old dope head and all that kind of stuff. I led him to the Lord years and years ago, one of my first converts. He's still serving God. Yeah, I'm satisfied with the fruit God gave me. I'm satisfied for doing something for God and picking a little fruit here and there, brethren. I could go on and on and on. I was John Prescott, going around this country for 20 years. Reached to a gas station one day and saw our track on Bible version comparison. And lit him on fire, come back to the house and loaded him up with tracks. And for 20 years, he'd been going all over this country telling people about God.
I could go on and on and on. I'm satisfied, brethren, with the fruit God gave me. And I want to say I'm satisfied with the faithful that God's brought my path. He's met. God's been good to me. I'm satisfied with the family. I'm satisfied with the food that old Bible has fed me for 42 years. And I want to say this morning, I'm satisfied with the fun I've had. I am having a ball, Miss Liz. I have had a ball since the day I got saved and got right with God and got in that book and got grounded. I am having me a blast in this life. Oh, Brother Rick Sowell and Sam Gill, the other night, some of y'all were down there. Brother Rick Sowell been through a lot of things. He said, man, if you people tell me you're not supposed to have fun being a Christian, he said, I am having me a blast. I am having me a ball, Brother Zito. I had a blast, Miss Carol, last Tuesday night with those homeless folks. Brother Lucian, man, him and Kathy, they love it. I'm having a ball. I'm satisfied with the fun God gave me. Somebody said the word fun's not in the Bible. Well, let me tell you, the word fun may not be in the Bible, but I'm having a lot of fun in the Bible. Amen. I'm having me a ball. I love it. I love to tell people. I love to read the Bible. I love to witness for Jesus Christ. It is fun, 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 brother. And I'm satisfied with the joy and the fun God has given me. Brother, I tell you what, and God knows my heart, Lord, if this thing was much better, Brother Ben, I'd just take off. I'd be a rocket getting out of here, man. Miss Carol, I am having a blast, servant. I can't wait to get back on that street like some of you keep saying. Brother Terry, when are we going to get back out? It is so much fun. Miss Carol, Thursday, she said, that was so much fun Tuesday night. She said, I can't wait to get back out there. She went street preaching with us one time, and that Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I heard somebody in my driveway. She said, Brother Terry, we want to go street preaching this morning again. Say why? It's fun doing something for the Lord. It's fun, fun, fun in the sun, sun, sun.
Amen.
And the sun I'm talking about is a S-O-N, son. I love this life, man. Oh.
Amen.
Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Brother, when I got in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, my life took off. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and more abundantly. I've got it. He that hath the Son hath life. Brother, I want to share it. To whom God would make known, which is you, the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother, there's something sitting in me that's so real, so fun, so exciting, so unbelievable, it's hard to stand sometimes. I'll close with this. I got two more points, and I'm going to give you this illustration here. We went out there with Brother Lucian and them. That Brother Lucian's a hoot, man. He's an ex-policeman, you know. He runs that thing like a policeman, don't he? He like this. He's been there. I said, how long you been there, Brother Lucian? He said, 5 years. He said, over 5 years. And he said, you know what? He said, I think I've been here about 8 years. He said this. He said, preacher, time sure does fly when you're having fun.
Amen.
You know what he's having? He's having fun. It's hard work. They work, both of them. They come right over there after work. He's still got his work stuff on. They got a big trailer. They unload the trailer with all the stuff. His wife has a big old thing of tea and coffee that she makes. They cook a lot of times for 100 people. He brings churches in, and he's all over the place running around. He had to get on the phone, find out where that church was. He's setting up everything around there. You know what he's having? He's having a ball. Nobody's paid him to do that. It costs their own money to do that. He works. That takes her whole week just to prepare and get ready for that thing he told me. So what's he doing? He's having fun. You know what, brethren? I am satisfied with the fun God gave me. I'm satisfied with the spiritual family, this family God's gave me. I'm satisfied with my father. I'm satisfied with the food, this Bible God gave. I'm satisfied with the fight he gave. I got a fight in me. I got to fight the good fight of faith. I don't want nobody going to hell. I was telling some of the guys out there, I said, I see a lot of these, a couple of times, I see this little sodomite over there at Cosby Lake, and it breaks my heart when I see him. I start crying every time I try to talk. There's two little girls, the two dykes over there. They look just like, they got their flat tops, you know, and they're beautiful little girls. And they're over there at the park, and I've talked to them about, they're just sweet. Miss Liz, and I talk to them, my heart just breaks when I talk to them about the Lord. Can't hardly get something out. You say, why? I'm fighting for those souls, brother. I'm not giving them up. I'm not giving them up. I'm satisfied with that fight. I'm satisfied with those faithful people God has sent along my path. And I'm satisfied with the fun. The fun. I am having a blast. I've had it for 42 years when I got saved. I spent 30 years preaching at Jimmy Hale Mission, and I had a ball. We had a church in our house for 3 years, brethren, and we had, you can ask my wife, we had a ball. We'd get them singing. I had averaged 45 people in that my house. They'd pack like sardines. Just about every one of them had gotten saved. And we'd open up all the windows in the house, and we'd sing out loud as we could and play that piano. And they'd sing. I had them singing. And people across the street, they'd set up in lounge chairs and stuff across the street listening to us. You say, what was that? That was fun. That was fun. I'm having a ball. I'm satisfied. Are you satisfied this morning? I'm satisfied. Bow our heads. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God you've given us. Thank you for the fight you've given us, the food, the spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Thank you for the family you've given us. You shall know you pass from death to life because you love the brethren, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fun and the joy. You said the joy of the Lord is your strength, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. You said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Lord, I'm having a ball, Lord. Thank you for that joy that I have today in you. It's because of you, Lord. And I love it, Father. Pray your blessing upon this message. Pray your blessing on this church, Lord. Pray, God, your blessing upon the people here. Just pray your will would be done above it all, Lord. We just pray your will would be done, Lord. We give it to you. Give you this message. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.